Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football DFS Podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm a PFW Fantasy Football contributor. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, PFW contributor and Northwest Herald sports editor Kyle Neighbors. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, how did last week go for you over on FanDuel?
Well, you know, first off, Arthur's not here yet. He'll be here later when we do our season-long fantasy podcast, but I'm going to start the victory lap for CJ Beathard right now. I am the smartest. And then for the rest of it, I am the absolute dumbest because I just wrong across the board, essentially, outside of that. I hope it went a little better for you.
I had a rough early part of the day because I played a lot of Bilal Powell. Oops. And that did not work out. But I did go heavy on the Giants 49ers game, which is a game that we talked about a lot on last week's podcast, and that certainly saved my day. Garrett Celek really saved my day, and really I went down to Garrett Celek to pay up for Antonio Brown, and really if you would have told me. Celek ended up with like four catches for like 70 yards and a touchdown. You know, I would have been okay with that for Antonio Brown. And then what Antonio Brown did, I would have been ecstatic for Garrett Celek. but it ended up okay because that game certainly had plenty of fantasy goodness. I hope our listeners got onto that game too. But we're going to move on to this week. And Kyle, man, we've talked a little bit about it just, you know, going into the show. There aren't a lot of running backs that I want to play, and there are a ton of quarterbacks that are interesting to me. What are you thinking about when you're approaching this week?
Yeah, well, let's start at running back. You start looking at on FanDuel, and your top four guys, yeah, Leonard Fournette is the highest priced guy. I'm not taking him on the road at Cleveland. Todd Gurley, I don't really want to play him at Minnesota. Then Zeke, they still have him listed on here, obviously suspended. So it's like the one high-priced guy that everyone's going to flock to is Kareem Hunt. And, yeah, he's in a smash matchup. But do you really want to play him when he's going to be 40 to 45% owned? I don't know how it's over on DraftKings, but it's just kind of shaping up of – I mean, you're going to end up really chalky unless you take a chance on Fournette or Gurley.
Well, I mean, I got to ask you, because at least on DraftKings, Mark Ingram is $100 more expensive than Kareem Hunt. And it looks like on FanDuel, Ingram's about $400 cheaper. And with the way Ingram's been going, don't you think Ingram will get a little bit more traffic this week than Kareem Hunt, who hasn't scored a touchdown since week three?
I think people are going to see the Giants and start loading up, which is not a bad strategy. I completely get I get that. And I'm going to be doing that more in the passing game than I think in the run game. I think Kareem Hunt's going to be the highest owned running back of the week. And then probably Mark Ingram second. Yeah. I mean, he'll be pretty heavy owned.
Okay.
Washington's been, I mean, decent on the ground. All right, their rush defense, though. I don't think it's a guaranteed blow-up spot again for him.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It's just he's been so consistent. The floor is so safe with him.
I've been screaming for several weeks now that I think the Saints are the best team in the NFC, and it's because of their run blocking and obviously Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. I don't have a problem with either of them this week. I mean, at some point they both can't pay off, right?
At some point, the touchdown regression is going to come for those two.
Yeah. Yes. So it's when do you want to jump off? Now at home. Probably
against Washington.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really interesting. You have a couple guys in the same game, actually, in the kind of right below Mark Ingram and LeSean McCoy and Melvin Gordon. I think a lot of people were burned by both of those guys last week, including myself. Are you willing to go back to that well?
I don't think Melvin Gordon is playable right now.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, even though it's against Buffalo and we saw how dominated Buffalo was against the rush last week, and now they got to go on the road to the West Coast to face the Chargers. But Melvin Gordon depends on volume because he is very inefficient. He doesn't average more than 3.5 yards a carry. So he needs volume. His volume has gone down significantly each of the past 3 weeks as Austin Eckler has become a guy that has carved out his own role for the Chargers offense. And so if you have a guy who is totally dependent on touches and volume, and it's not going to be there, like I don't think it's going to be there. I think Austin Eckler is a legitimate part of the Chargers offense right now. I don't see how you can play Gordon when there are when Kamara, at least on DraftKings, is in the same price range, and McCoy's only $200 cheap, more expensive. Kareem Hunt's only $400 more expensive. That's not a big stretch to get to one of those guys when you've got another guy who is playing his way into a timeshare. And I'm biased when it comes to Melvin Gordon. So take everything I say with Gordon with a grain of salt. I have not believed in his talent whatsoever. I've played him and won money with him because I know the volume is going to be there. But as soon as somebody else is jumping into that running back offense for the Chargers, I'm out with Melvin Gordon.
Every time you say the name Austin Eckler, like it, I just cringe because I just see him tiptoeing down the sideline for touchdowns last week, and it makes me sad.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers obviously view him as a legit part of the offense. And look, Melvin Gordon got you 9 points on DraftKings last week, while Austin Eckler, despite the fumble, went out and got you 27.
Yeah,
And Eckler's 4,500. Okay. If you really want to get crazy, I'm not playing either one of them. Despite the matchup, I'm not playing either one of them.
There are some cheap running backs that I am interested in, and I might have to go that route given how I don't like the top tier guys. Trying to scroll down here and find them. So, what do you think about the Patriots' backfield at this point? Is Rex Burkhead playable?
Not only is he playable, he's almost a must on DraftKings because he is only 3,600. He's 600 above the minimum. Mike Gillisley was a healthy scratch for 2 weeks in a row. Burkhead played about half the snaps, but you know he got, 10 attempts last week. He's getting at least 3 or 4 targets. Going up against this Oakland defense, Chris Hogan's going to be out. We obviously know what the Patriots think of Gillisley. I think Burkhead is almost a must play. He's going to be one of the chalkiest plays on the slate just because he's so cheap and this is a great matchup.
All right. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm leaning. Let's see. Can you see if you can guess my other guy here? Another cheap running back that I'm kind of leaning toward.
All right, let me pull up FanDuel here for a sec. Probably not Tariq Cohen.
No, because apparently the Bears are going to allow defenses to dictate.
That was one of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard.
Yeah. Well, it's only a few more weeks with John Fox and then that show's over. So,
You know what? Is it Marshawn Lynch?
No, it's never Marshawn Lynch.
All right, who is it?
It is Kenyon Drake.
Okay, I like it.
Yes, I the rumor was when they went ahead and traded Jay Ajayi that they expected Kenyon Drake to eventually be the lead guy. Damian Williams, got the starts, but you're starting to see Drake get more and more involved. I think he's obviously the more explosive player. He showed it last week. I think this is a week he takes control of that backfield. I think his price is only going to go up from here.
So let's see. Last week he had 9 touches. How many touches do you think he gets this week against Tampa?
I'm going to go 16 to 18.
Okay. For the price, yeah. If you think he's going to get 16 to 18 touches, I think Kenyon Drake has got to be a guy you have to consider.
Yeah, I mean, 7 for 82 and a touchdown last week. I mean, the week before, 9 for 69. Those are on the ground. 8 targets over those 2 games. I just think it's going to continue. He's going to continue to get more and more traction.
I agree. Kyle, let's move on to quarterback here, and then we'll get into some of our favorite plays at each position. It's an interesting week at quarterback, isn't it? There are guys I want to pay up for, but I don't know if I can.
Yeah, there's not a lot of I've been really big on the value guys the last few weeks. Well, CJ Beathard last week. Who was it the week before? Jacoby Brissett. There it is.
Yep.
So I've been enjoying taking that approach, but that's not really there this week, and I'm not going after guys in Houston or Arizona. Not doing it. As much as bad as the Houston secondary has been, I'm not playing Drew Stanton or Blaine Gabbert.
It looks like it's going to be Gabbert at this point. Gabbert, we're taping this on Thursday. And look, Gabbert's going to run a little bit too. I think Gabbert's floor is okay for the price.
I can't do that. No, I'm just not playing Blaine Gabbert. So I think it's almost a week you have to pay up. You can go either with Wentz or Prescott in that game. I think that's going to be a shootout. Then Tom Brady.
Brady's, if you can afford Brady this week, by all means.
Yes. I think the chalk on FanDuel, and it's chalk that I'm probably willing to eat, is going to be Alex Smith at 7,900.
He'll be chalk on DraftKings as well at 6,700. And yeah, it's chalk I'm willing to eat. Smith has Alex Smith has been really good this year. Like, let's just face it. Alex Smith has been a good fantasy football quarterback, and he's in one of the best matchups you could possibly hope for.
Yeah, the Giants have completely gone off the rails. It's almost going to be a weekly thing. When I see the Giants on the schedule, I'm going to immediately click on the opposing quarterback and then move from there if I need to.
Yeah, I don't see why not. All right, well, who else are you looking at quarterback this week then, Kyle, as we get into our position-by-position guys here?
Well, I'm not willing to do it, but I want to get your take. Will you play Blake Bortles against Cleveland?
No, I don't want to play Blake Bortles. And I know Cleveland is a pass funnel defense, and Bortles is probably going to throw for two touchdowns. I just have no interest in I think his ceiling is just capped. Blake Bortles is not going to go get you 30.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Particularly, I'm not a big fan of the receiving core either.
So, I'll say this: I have no problem with Bortles in cash.
Okay, I mean, yeah, he's probably going to get you 14 to 16.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're just closing your eyes and praying if you're thinking he's going to get you more than 20, though. I think that's his ceiling.
Yeah, I think he is very much cash game viable, and I'm avoiding him in tournaments. I want to ask you about one guy who's just above Bortles' price on DraftKings. Guy who I played him a lot. A lot of people played him last week, and I think he's going to get abandoned this week, despite being an infinitely better matchup. And that's Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Dolphins.
No,
we saw how bad that Miami defense is.
But it's Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick, though, he does have that upside for you, though.
He does, but
Fitzpatrick can get you to 30,
and he also can get you to 5.
Yeah, there's. I mean, look, you're riding a train. There's a lot of variance here, with Ryan Fitzpatrick. But
he completed 50% of his passes against the Jets.
He did. It was an awful, awful game. But this Miami defense is so bad and burnable.
So is the Jets.
And they're coming off a short week now.
Oh, this is a bad take.
No. I'm gonna ride with Fitzpatrick in at least one or two tournament lineups.
All right. Well, I look forward to you cracking a beer open at about 2:30 on Sunday then.
All right. Well, let's move on to running back. We talked about a couple guys, but anybody else that really catches your eye over there on FanDuel?
No, I mean, that's what I just don't want to play running backs this week. Can I just play five receivers?
If Kyle had the option, we would just punt running back this week, just not play it at all.
I know this isn't helpful for listeners, but it's so bad. I mean, you can play Todd Gurley if you really want to. If you don't want to play Kareem Hunt, Todd Gurley is going to get the volume no matter what. So take a chance that he's Todd Gurley and going to find a way to break a long one against this Minnesota defense. My God,
I'm avoiding the Rams offense. I think the Rams offense is a schoolyard bully that absolutely picks on terrible defenses, and against a good defense, I want no part of it.
Yeah. I mean, on the opposite side of that, I was a big fan of Jarrett McKinnon, but he's kind of seems to have lost that lead role to Latavius Murray for whatever reason, despite the fact that Latavius Murray stinks. I don't get that, but so you can't really go there. I mean, you can take a chance, I guess, on Adrian Peterson getting the ball 40 times again.
Yeah, I'm going to have Peterson in a couple lineups. Absolutely.
I mean,
how about Jordan Howard?
No, the Bears are bad.
The Bears are bad, but the Lions just gave up 90 plus yards to Isaiah Crowell.
is Kyle Long going to play?
I don't, at this point, we don't know. It looks like not.
So, I mean, if Kyle Long's going to play, then I have a little interest in Jordan Howard. But I saw what that ground game looked like last week without him, and it wasn't pretty.
Look, here's the other tournament argument for Howard. He was one of the most owned guys last week. He was 20-25% owned. It's going to be 5% or less this week.
Okay. I mean, I can get that behind that idea.
He has to get in the end zone to pay off any sort of value. But,
I mean
these Lions-Bears games, they're all, it's always like 20-17 and close, and if the Bears are going to get up to 17, 20 points, Jordan Howard has to be a part of that.
Jordan Howard on FanDuel has broke 20 points once this year. See, that's my problem. Like, there isn't upside.
Yeah, and he's priced up on FanDuel still. He's only $100 cheaper than Kamara.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over on DK, he's down to 6,200. Which is 1,300 cheaper than Kamara.
Yeah, maybe seeing here, is Isaiah Crowell going to play?
He's got the Q tag right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think Duke Johnson becomes viable if Crowell's going to be out or severely limited.
Yeah, all right. I think that's all it is an ugly slate for running back this week.
Oh, it's awful. I can't remember it being this bad.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on then. Let's go to wide receiver. Who are some of the guys you're looking at over on FanDuel?
Well, first off, what's the pricing like over on DraftKings? Because it's really weird. I don't remember the last time I had a full slate where there was not a single wide receiver at 9,000, and Michael Thomas is the only wide receiver over 8,000 on FanDuel. It's really odd.
It's odd over on DraftKings. There are no wide receivers above 8,000. Mike Evans is number one at 7,900. Michael Thomas, number two at 7,400. So there's a lot of guys in the 6 to 7 range.
Yeah.
That are interesting. Why, if you're not going to pay all the way up at running back, like let's say you don't really want Hunt and you're just trying to convince yourself of a couple of Rex Burkhead and one other mid-price guy, you can kind of do whatever you want at running back or at wide receiver this week. So that's what makes it interesting to me. That's what makes this week interesting to me is I think we're going to see a lot of spread out ownership this week.
Yeah.
Like.
At wide receiver, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, while I won't jump on the Fitzpatrick train, I get the upside of Mike Evans.
He's got two touchdown upside.
Yeah. Adam Thielen continues to play really well. I like Golden Tate. I like Tyreek Hill. Stephon Diggs, of course, always. I mean, he's just got too high of an upside, even in kind of a neutral matchup. Now I see Alshon Jeffrey has a questionable tag, too. That was a guy that I was really interested in.
Yeah. What I want to get your take on Michael Thomas. He's going to be in the slot where Washington has absolutely gotten burned. That's where Thielen burned him last week. It's where Doug Baldwin burned him 2 weeks ago. Thomas seems like a guy that is not, his ownership is not going to get above 10%. He went over 100 yards last week. He has not scored in a while, week four. I think to pay off his salary, he almost has to hit the end zone twice on DraftKings. But
really? He's that high?
He's 7,400.
Okay. That's not that bad. I mean,
not that bad, but
it's coming. The big week is coming for Michael Thomas.
And now they're at home and, you know, in the dome where Breeze traditionally does better. There's like, you can talk yourself into it this week.
I think he's one of the top options. Like I said, the big game is coming. He's too talented. He's getting a huge amount of targets. I mean, what is he averaging? About 9?
Yeah, about 10, that.
Yeah, 10, 11, 8, 11 over the last 4 weeks. I mean, the big game is going to come here soon. Do you have any interest? I know it's going on the road. I know it's Andy Dalton, but I love AJ Green so much.
It's a pure ownership play, I feel like. People are going to see that it's at Denver and just not click his name.
I mean, the Denver defense has...
It has not been what it is. And like AJ Green is sandwiched between, at least on DraftKings, between Tyreek Hill and Larry Fitzgerald, who are both going to get way more traffic.
Yes. Go ahead. You know what? Let's stop right here. Go ahead and give me your sales pitch for Larry Fitzgerald.
So Blaine Gabbert, let's assume it's Gabbert at quarterback. Blaine Gabbert especially zeroes in on slot receivers because he does not have the arm strength to push it out to perimeter receivers. Houston is, you know, you can attack Houston really anywhere you want, but they're especially weak in the slot. So I think this is the type of game where Fitzgerald could get 12, 13 targets against a defense that is certainly burnable. That's the pitch for Fitzgerald.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. I'm going to say it for the first time since probably week one. Fire him up. And it's
no. All right. I'm off now. With the rules been, if Kyle's on Larry Fitzgerald, then we can't play him. So
I'm pretty sure I could throw you out there at quarterback and you would be able to at least be you would be able to find Larry Fitzgerald against this Houston secondary.
Yeah. I mean, it's there. It's there for you if you want it.
So here's the thing. I feel like in this matchup, his floor is 10 points. And if he gets into the end zone, you have an easy 20-point day.
Yeah, absolutely. Fitzgerald is, I think, a must in cash, and he's got tournament winning upside.
Yeah. As much as that pains me to say, I don't see a good reason not to play him.
Yeah. Anybody else that you got your eye on?
Well, is there anyone? I'll take a shot on Devontae Parker again. He continues to be underpriced, I feel like, on FanDuel. The targets 8 and 9 since he's been back. I think the long touchdown is coming sooner or later, and Tampa Bay is prime. I haven't seen that. I need to look a little closer at Jarvis Landry. He's questionable, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if Landry's able to go, also really, really like Sterling Shepard at 6,500 on FanDuel.
Yeah, the Giants players at this point, it's such a narrow tree. We know where the ball's going. It's to Sterling Shepard and Evan Engram.
Yeah, and the Chiefs have had trouble against slot receivers, to say the least.
Yep. Yeah, you can game stack this Chiefs-Giants game for sure.
I think that's the way I'm going to probably heavily go. I don't really care if it's chalky. It's this game is not going to bust.
No, I don't think so at all. I'm actually going to avoid Parker probably on DraftKings just because of where he's priced. For $100 more, I can get to Brandon Cooks, who tends to really do well against tall, slow cornerbacks, and those are the only cornerbacks that Oakland has. So I think Cooks is in a nice spot this week.
Yeah, he's not for the faint of heart, but another one of those blow up weeks is coming for him. There's so many guys I felt like this year that they're kind of the roll of the dice, but if you get it correct, it's like, the T.Y. Hilton ones are at least kind of like you can see
predictable.
Coming. Yeah. Like the Brandon Cooks one, just seemed to be really random.
Yeah, they absolutely do. I'm going to throw two more guys out there that are low priced. One is Jeremy Maclin. Against the Green Bay secondary, and Demarius Randall is statistically one of the worst cornerbacks in the league. Packers keep having to throw him out there. Maclin got 53 yards in week 8, 98 yards in week 9. He's one of the only offensive options for that Ravens passing game. So Macklin's healthy, and he's only 4,500 on DraftKings.
Okay.
That's an easy one.
He's 6,000 on FanDuel, but I see it. I don't know if, given how cheaply the wide receivers are priced this week, I don't really know if you need to go there, but I get it.
Yeah, this is in case you, and we'll get to it. There's a lot of tight ends that are interesting.
Ooh, yes.
The other guy who is he is the absolute minimum price on DraftKings is Bruce Ellington, who is going to be the number two wide receiver in Houston with Will Fuller, Sky Point for you, Kyle, there, out. Ellington's got 8 targets each of the past 2 games, 3 receptions, 4 receptions.
He didn't really do much with the.
He did score a touchdown against the Rams. He scored their only touchdown.
Yeah, I'm not chasing those points.
Yeah, if you really need to get creative and need a minimum price guy, Ellington is probably the only somewhat legitimate option because you know the targets will be there.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's where, look, it's a 2 tight end week on DraftKings, I think, without question. I'm really more interested on FanDuel and tight end because you got a lot of options there, Kyle. So who give me a ranking of your tight end options right now over on FanDuel.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say that you can plug any of these four guys in and not think twice about it. But if I had to rank them, I'm going to go, and these are the top four guys in price on FanDuel. Travis Kelce, number one, 7,500. Gronk, number two, at 8,200. Evan Ingram, number three, at 7,400. And I can't believe I'm going to put him all the way at number four, which seems silly, but Zach Ertz at 8,000. Like I said, I don't really, you're making me rank them, so that's how I'm doing it, but I don't, you can play any of them and feel good, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe on FanDuel, you construct your roster sort of how you want it, but keep at least, you know, 75 to 8,000 open just to give yourself a few options at tight end.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and it's going to be pretty standard across the board here, but you're going to see a lot of people pairing their tight end with their quarterback this week.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If you go Smith, you're going to go Kelce. If you go Brady, you're going to go Gronk. If you really want to go Eli, I guess, you can go Ingram. You can go Ingram naked.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to have to probably there. I'm not playing Eli. I've had a couple friends suggest that maybe this is the Eli week, but I'm not willing to go there. I think to be contrarian a little bit, you might have to do a three-man stack to really get value on the field. Whether that's, you know, Alex Smith, Kelce, and Kareem Hunt, or Tyreek Hill, or, you know, Wentz, Alshon Jeffrey, or Aguilar, and Ertz, or then, you can go a number of ways with the Patriots and feel okay. But I think that if you're going to go in that combination, you probably need to go a three-man stack.
Yeah, I agree. You need to differentiate a little bit. So certainly a three-man, or even, like, if you want to look at the Chiefs and just go onslaught and go Smith, Hunt, Hill, Kelce, and just hope for all the Chiefs points.
You can go come back on the other side with Sterling Shepard then.
Absolutely.
That's not a bad idea. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. On DraftKings, it's a lot easier this week because you can play two of them. And Kelce and Gronk are almost the same price. There's only $100 between the two. Evan Ingram's at $6,000. If you're playing the main slate, you don't have the option to play Ertz. I feel like you have to play one of those guys, but if you really want to get nuts and go down, you know, Vernon Davis, if Jordan Reed continues to be out, the place to attack New Orleans is up the middle, so Vernon Davis is in play. I mean, like it or not, Jared Cook is a part of the Raiders offense.
Yeah, I'm going to have to jump off that horse. At least I'm not going to play him, but I can't scream at anyone that does at this point, particularly at home against New England. I'm not
gonna the volume's just there.
Yeah, I get it now, at least. At least the volume is there. Before, it was just this mythical upside that was never actually there. Now, at least he's getting 8 targets.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, how about some love for a hometown boy, C.J. Fedorowicz against Arizona?
Yeah, Johnsburg grad C.J. Fedorowicz. No.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Kyle, any defenses that really stick out this week? I think the Chargers are probably the chalk this week.
Chargers are the chalk, huh?
I think so. At home against Buffalo. Nate Peterman making his first start on the road against a really elite pass rush and a pretty darn good cornerback in Casey Hayward. I think the potential is there for turnovers and sacks.
Yeah, I get it. You know, I've kind of been a fan of the Chargers playing them. If you're telling me it's Chargers chalk week, then I don't really know if I want to rely on that. I don't know if I have a standout defense, honestly. If you can find a way to play, I mean, they're really expensive, but just play Jacksonville. Pricing is cheap enough, just play Jacksonville.
If you can get there, Jacksonville, I think, is certainly a great play every week, pretty much every week. all right, well, I guess that'll do it for the PFW DFS podcast. For Kyle Neighbors, I'm John Solly. Good luck in your matchups this weekend.